And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, Secrets, Volume 168. 168. Am I wrong, Jerry? Oh, my goodness. Jerry says 169. I got one behind some. I'm sorry. 169. They're adding up. I mean, just one pancake after another. And these have substance to them. But anyway, I like pancakes. And we got something for you today. I tell you, we're going to pancake the evildoers, all right? And spread a little soap on them and take some bites out of them. I feel like this is the IHOP restaurant, and we're going to get going here. Maybe have a little bacon, too, and grits or something. You can tell I'm from down south, huh? Yeah, I wouldn't be talking about grits and bacon and all those pancakes and all those things. Well, in any case, today is Secrets. I always like this time of the month when we expose evildoers and we just go in any direction we want. And do we have a lineup today? We're going to talk about the support of immigration reform by my good friend. Yes, my good friend, Glenn Beck of Fox News. He's supporting immigration amnesty, basically. He calls it something else, but he's basically for the old Bush-Obama plan for illegal immigrants. You said Beck would not do that? Well, let's talk about it. Let's look at it. Glenn Beck. Ah, yes. Then we're also going to look at Native American Indian religion. I understand Glenn Beck at his rally last week, the big, you know, God and Country rally in Washington, D.C., that was so well attended. Glenn Beck recognized two Native American Indians. I don't know whether they were Native American Indian healers or, you know, shamans or whatever they were. But I've had letters asking me what's wrong with Native American Indian religion. They worship God too, these people ask me. They say, what's the matter with them? They worship the Great Spirit. Isn't that the same God we worship? So what Glenn Beck did in recognizing and honoring them was okay, wasn't it? Well, we'll answer that question. I don't mind at all answering that question. We might look at Glenn Beck a little bit more in depth today. And then we've got some other things for you, too. For example, I have an article now on my website called, or titled, that I wrote, of course. I write all my articles. No ghostwriters here. Secession is the best solution. It's time we secede from the Union. Wow. Now, some people may get very angry about that. Don't you love America, Tex? Secede? Secession? That's the best solution? You got to be kidding me, Tex Mars. Well, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. It's time we secede, and I'm going to give you the reasons why I believe it's time. Finally, to consider it, to secede from the United States and to form our own country, our own nation. Think about it. Hey, I've got a magazine here called Military Officer. I subscribe to it. I'm a member of the Military Officers Association. It's an association of retired officers of all the branches of military service. You know, airmen and soldiers, the Navy, Marines, even the Coast Guard. And I get their magazine every month, Military Officer Magazine. And it's sort of an interesting magazine. This is the official magazine of the Military Officers Association. It used to be called the Retired Officers Association. I'm a retired officer of the United States Air Force. And on the front cover is a picture of the new Chief of Staff of the Air Force. His name, Norton Schwartz. Schwartz. He's Jewish. 4-star general, a Jew. Norton Schwartz. I guess I'm supposed to stand at attention and salute right now when I mention his name, but being a former blue suitor, but we'll talk about General Schwartz and ask the question, or maybe answer the question, do the Jews control the Pentagon today? Do they tell the military beast where to go, what to do, who to kill? How did that happen? That came about. Hey, we like old Newt. Newt Gingrich. We'll be talking about Newt Gingrich. Oh, I like him about as much as I like any Newt. Now, Newt, isn't that a name? I think Webster's Dictionary would tell us that's the name of some kind of a lizard. A lizard. I like lizards. They're sort of funny critters. Back where I come from in East Texas, we had a lot of these little green lizards. But Newt Gingrich is a different kind of lizard. He's one of those chameleons. He can change colors, like most politicians, you have to say. He had something to say recently about the Tea Parties, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about it, and we'll discuss the games being played by Newt Gingrich. Who wants to be president of the United States? And by the way, Newt Gingrich, who was a Southern Baptist, has now converted to Roman Catholicism. He's one of those Pope Benedict boys. We'll discuss that as well. Okay, we may get started. And by the way, I'd also like to talk about Ted Olson. Ted Olson. He was Solicitor General, the top lawyer, you know, other than the Attorney General, during the days of George Herbert Walker Bush, Senior Bush. Ted Olson, Theodore Olson, was his Solicitor General. He's the guy that took all the cases to federal court on behalf of the White House, of the executive branch of the Air Force. I got the Air Force on my mind. Of the White House, of the administration of the presidency, the executive branch. Man, you know, 20 years in the Air Force, that does affect you, Jerry. Your dad, your father's retired. Yeah, retired Air Force. So Jerry knows what it's all about. They call him, you know, the families, they call him the kids, brats, military brats. I always thought that was very unfair. I never called the kids of military parents brats. But they did it. And I think the children actually liked, they sort of enjoyed it. You know, now I've seen a lot of military kids, you know, their fathers, and nowadays their mothers are in the military. And they'll meet somebody else and they say, oh, I used to be a military brat too. They sort of somehow identify with that. So to them, it's not a big slam or anything. But nevertheless, I don't really use that term. I guess I'm old fashioned. I like to give honor to a military man or woman for that matter. And I like to give honor to their families. So I never did call them brats. I'm not going to do that. Okay. All right. So Jerry, you're safe here. You're not a brat anymore, Jerry. He's my engineer. By the way, Jerry sits in here once a week and does this because he's sort of technical minded and all. He actually does our website, Power of Prophecy, all that pretty artwork and all that stuff and how he lays everything out. I cannot do that. I must tell you, I need help with that. I write the articles. I write those things, but Jerry puts them in a format, makes them look beautiful, lovely. And we get a lot of compliments on our websites. He's the webmaster, you know, so that's him, the webmaster and, you know, jack of all trades. But he does a great job on that. So if you want to give somebody credit, I'll take it. I'll take the credit. Tex Mars did it all. No, I'm fibbing. Jerry Barrett did all the web pages, putting them all up there. You know, the theme, what is written is Tex Mars. Throw your shoes, throw your bricks at me for that. But if the artwork and layout, if that's all messed up, make sure it's Jerry that gets hit with your shoe, not me, okay? But I don't think you'll be throwing anything. He does a good job. By the way, some other people I really need to recognize. My wife, Wanda, is vice president of the ministry, and she's the treasurer. She takes care of the money. I don't even know how much we have, but she gives me a report every month. She says, uh-oh, we're in trouble, or we're okay, we're doing okay. The okays have not been very frequent lately. Yeah, we've been falling behind. Last month was a real low month, but it was summer, and I think our friends out there, you know, you folks listening, I know you're going to help us get out of this little deficit that we're in. You know, we're not like the federal government. We just can't sell all treasury bonds, create our own printing press with money. We're sort of stuck, you know. It's whatever people give to the ministry, and we do need your help. We really do. I don't often ask for money, but there's nothing wrong with it. You need to let people know you need money, and we do. We need help. We need prayers. We need your financial support. Please help us out. And believe me, we're one of the few ministries like this in America. If you can find somebody that does the things we do, well, then go support them. But I don't know of anybody. There's only a, and there's, I mean, the fingers of my right hand. I don't even think there's that many ministries. A lot of good patriot groups. A lot of good patriot radio shows. Don't get me wrong. But very few bring Jesus into the equation. That's what we do here. Jesus comes first. Country. Well, really, country is maybe third. I think human beings are second. And then country is third. So we sort of have a trinity of our own. You know, God, human beings, and country. Countries come and go. I love America, but, you know, after all, civilizations come and go. Human beings, I think we need to put a lot of priority on that because Jesus loves people. He died on the cross for our sins. That must mean that we should pay attention to human beings, to people. And that's why we want to serve you. Nobody works at Power of Prophecy who is short or ugly or mean to our people, because you're part of our family. I really believe that. I guess they would call that the extended family. But I believe that. When I go into conferences, I go on the road especially, and many of you come to hear me speak, and you tell me, Tex, I've been getting your newsletter all these years, you know, and you introduce yourself to me. I feel like you're a part of me. Right away, we have a connection. We have a link. We believe in the same things. We have the same love of God, of country, of truth, of righteousness. Everything is connected at once when I meet you in person. And I believe we're even doing it by way of radio and on our websites. You know, I just feel connected to good people listening to this radio program. And we're going to continue if you will help us out. And we need your help. You know, a woman wrote to us this week, Jerry. She said she was going through a lot of old stuff in her garage and everything. And she said she used to subscribe to all these different ministry publications, newsletters and magazines. She said as she was going through them, she realized that most of them are out of business now. They've gone down the wayside. She said, and then she came to one of Tex Mars's old newsletters. You know, they used to be called Flashpoint. She came to an old edition of Flashpoint, and she said, I wonder if Tex Mars is still in business. She said, it's been like 15 or 20 years since, you know, I got his newsletter. So she got on the phone and with directory assistance found us. And she called and spoke to somebody here at the ministry. I think it was Michelle. And she said, are y'all still there? Michelle said, yes, we are. She said, well, is Tex Mars doing okay? And Michelle says, oh, yeah, we're here. We're still doing the same great work for the Lord. And the Christian lady said, well, put me back on the mailing list. Y'all are one of the only ones left. Well, we've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations and IRS audits and visits by the FBI. And I think all these Jewish groups that were trying to close us down and put Tex Mars in prison if they could. You know, Pete, they would love, my enemies would love for me to be a doper. If they could find me taking marijuana or cocaine or something, they'd love it. Well, sorry, I don't take that stuff. If they could find me in some kind of a sexual scandal, they would love to expose Tex Mars and get rid of this ministry. But I'll have to tell you the truth. They wouldn't have to worry about getting rid of my ministry. I have a wife. I think she would take care of those things, you know. She'd whack my neck off. And you know what? She doesn't have to do that either because I'm not going to do that. I respect my wife too much. I respect God too much to do those things. No way. You know, I don't care how pretty the lady was. I'm not going to saddle up to her. I got a woman to saddle up to, and I like that woman. Wanda Jean is her name, and she's all right. I'm going to keep her. I lucked out with that lady, and I'm going to keep her. And I'm not going to trifle with her feelings. What kind of man would do that? An infidel would do that. And I'm not going to do that. Well, okay. Secrets. Let's get into some of these secrets because I think it's important. To the people who wrote me and said, okay, so Glenn Beck recognized Native American Indian religion people, all that. Well, what's wrong with that? They worship God too. Glenn Beck said they did. Uh-uh. I know all about Native American Indian religions. I know about their sweatshops. I know about their shamanism. I know about their beating on the drums and having these rituals with peyote and marijuana and other natural drugs that give them a high and put them in communication with devil spirits. I know about the cannibalism and the brutality of the Native American tribes. Now, I know the liberals today want to tell you they're all so noble. These Native American Indian tribes, they love our Mother Earth. Oh, baloney. They don't care about our Mother Earth. What are you talking about? In my book, Mystery Mark of the New Age, I have an image that came from Native American Indian art. Guess what one of the symbols is? The swastika. Did you know that some of the Native American Indians had the swastika, the same as the Nazis had, as their symbol of their god? Because they worshiped the sun as god. And many of them worshiped the moon as the goddess. The Great Spirit was the sun god. That's the devil. All the old ancients from Babylon, Greece, Rome, Egypt worshiped the sun god. That's not our God, the God of the Old and New Testament. By the way, Beck kept talking about the Judaic Christian faith, Judeo-Christianity. There is no Judeo-Christianity. You can't mix Judaism and Christianity because Judaism is a religion of the devil. That's what Jesus said. You're of your father, the devil, he told the Pharisee Jews. According to the Encyclopedia Judaica, the Jewish Encyclopedia, the religion of the Pharisees during the days of Jesus is the same religion as that of the Orthodox Jews today. They're the Pharisees. And what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar and the father of lies, Jesus said. And so are you, he told the Jews, the Pharisees. So when you see an Orthodox rabbi, just remember what Jesus said. Their father is the devil. That's why they hate Jesus. That's why they even hate Jesus' earthly mother, Mary, and call her a whore in their religion. Did you know in the Jewish Talmud, they curse a church every time they pass a Christian church? Every time they pass the Christian symbol of the cross, they curse it. One of the things that the Jews do when they pass by on foot or in their car, the Talmud says when you pass by a Christian cemetery, grab hold of your crotch and spit three times. I remember when Roseanne Barr, from the Roseanne show on TV, the comedian, she was invited. I don't know, the owner of the San Diego Padres baseball team, he must have been snorting something up his nose or smoking some weed. But he actually invited Roseanne Barr to open one of the San Diego Padre baseball games by singing the national anthem. She can't sing the national anthem. She doesn't have a voice at all. It's horrible. So she got out there and began to sing, "Oh, say, can you see?" I think I actually sound better when I said that than Roseanne Barr did. And you know, the people just started booing her. It was a disgrace. It was an outrage to dishonor the Star Spangled Banner by having the national anthem, by having Roseanne Barr, this filthy mouthed Jewish comedian, sing it right before the TV cameras. Well, after just a couple of verses of it, she got so angry at the crowd booing her that she reached down and grabbed a hold of her crotch and she spit on the ground. What was that all about? I knew. And now you know what she was doing. She was cursing the crowd, most of whom supposedly at least profess themselves to be Christians. She was showing her utter disrespect, hatred, and condemnation of Christianity right there before the national television audience as she grabbed her crotch and spit on the ground. That's what the Talmud says do. Native American Indians worship the sun god, the Great Spirit, shamanistic, cannibalism, brutality. Don't you know that some of these tribes, especially as you get down into Central and South America, They built these pyramids and would cut out the hearts of their victims and hold them up as they worshiped the great sun god, the god of death, and Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent god. Oh, yes. That's the Native American Indians. But in the Mormon religion, the LDS faith, and that's what Beck is, they say the ancient American Indians worshiped Jesus even. They believed in Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. But Beck thinks they did. Beck thinks they believed in God. Well, Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent, Mr. Glenn Beck, is not God. You need a little education. But you can't get it as long as you stay in the Mormon church. By the way, people have written me over the years and said, Tex, they're building these Mormon temples all over the world. In the United States, they're building these Mormon temples. What do they do in those temples? There are certain parts of the inside of these temples they will not let visitors go to. They close the doors. You cannot get in them. Even the tabernacle of the Mormon church in Salt Lake City, there are certain areas that are cordoned off, that are locked away. They will not let you see them. What goes on behind closed doors? Well, one thing you need to know, dear friends, is that most of the worship services and such are heathen and pagan. And the main thing that is done in Mormon temples is baptisms. They have nonstop baptisms. Now, if you become a Mormon, you'll be baptized. And after you're baptized, you have to do some genealogical study. The Mormons have the largest genealogical library in the world. See, you're supposed to research as a new Mormon, a baby Mormon, I guess you'd call it, and research and find the names of all of your dead relatives that go all the way back in history. Why? Why do you do all this genealogical research? Well, here's the answer. Those people died without knowing the truth of the Mormon faith. They're not in heaven. They can't become gods of their own planets if they're men with millions of polygamous wives. Those poor people, they need baptism. And they can be baptized in proxy by you. You know, there are people, Mormons, that pay other Mormons, pay them to go to the temple on the day of baptism and be baptized for all the relatives. And they give the elder there, the Mormon elder, a list of all of their relatives. Let's say doing your genealogical research, you come up with 486 names. Well, it's incumbent upon you as a Mormon to make sure those 480-something dead people get baptized. Because they're waiting somewhere, maybe in hell, some hellish place, maybe some other world that's not so nice as earth even. And they're just waiting for somebody to baptize them. They now that they're dead, they have found out about the truth of Joseph Smith and his Mormon church, but they can't be baptized because only human beings in the flesh can be baptized, according to the Mormon church. They're waiting for you to find them on a genealogical list and baptize them. Now, what if somebody else has already baptized him? Maybe a cousin of yours. Maybe some long-lost uncle. Maybe he did a genealogical survey and found that, you know, Jesse Stratham back in the 1600s was his relative. And he's also a relative of yours on your tree of genealogy. Can he be baptized twice? Well, yes. Because you and the guy from England or wherever, y'all don't each know each other and you don't know who's being baptized and who isn't. But once they're baptized, they are now put in the computer. And the Mormon church has this list, billions of people that have lived in the past now have become Mormons, even though they're dead, by being baptized. You know, sort of like the Catholic church believes in purgatory. Your dead relatives, you've got to have prayers for them and light candles and say masses for them to try to get them out of purgatory. Well, that's what the Mormons believe. There's sort of a purgatory out there. And you've got to baptize them to get them out of purgatory. And some Mormons will actually pay somebody to go to the temple and be baptized. And the same person in proxy gets dunked in the water hundreds of times. The same person. I'm now baptizing you for Jack Jones, who died in 1639 in England. I'm now baptizing you for Otto Strassenhaus, you know, from Holland, who died in 1791. I'm now baptizing. See how it goes? Oh, boy. Baptisms of the dead. That's the number one business of the Mormons. Big business. Oh, my goodness. And there, Beck was talking about God. What a deal. Okay. Some other people wrote to me and said, Tex, it doesn't matter if he had all those false apostles of other religions behind him standing. You have to understand, Beck is a conservative. And right now we're fighting all these liberals, these mean old ugly left-wing Democrat liberals. And he's a conservative. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, it's one thing to say you're a conservative. It's another thing to be one. Beck's not one. How do I know? Well, he acts like a conservative. He talks like a conservative. He quacks like a duck, but he's not a duck. He's some strange goose. Okay, can I prove that? Of course I can. I saw him myself on the O'Reilly Factor show. And he was asked, do you believe in a national sales tax? He said, yes, but I think it ought to be a value-added tax. And O'Reilly said, well, I think we ought to have a national sales tax. And Beck said, we need more money for the government. We've got to have a value-added tax. Now, what is a value-added tax? Well, it is a national sales tax. But it's more than that. You see, the materials that make a product, everybody that produces the materials has got to be taxed on them. That's part of the VAT, the VAT, the value-added tax. But then the manufacturer that puts them all together and makes it, makes the product, he's got to have a tax put on it, the manufactured product. And then when he sells it to the wholesaler has to pay a value-added tax, the VAT. And then he sells it to the store, the retail store or the chain, and they have to pay the value-added tax. And then finally, you buy it as the consumer, and you pay the VAT tax. Altogether, that could be 60 or 70% of the price. So what Beck wants is to continue the current IRS income tax, but meanwhile add a tax, including a national sales tax, this VAT tax, at all these levels. Pancaking it. I told you we were going to talk about pancakes, didn't I? Pancaking the taxes, one on top of another. Wow. He's in favor of it. Now, I heard Beck on his own program one time seeming to disagree with the people who believe in global warming and climate change. And I said, well, good for him. But then I was reading USA Today magazine a couple of months ago, and Beck was being interviewed. And he was asked about that. You don't believe in global warming. You don't think we have an environmental program. And Glenn Beck, you know what he said? I've been misunderstood. I believe in global warming. It's true. It's scientific. Only an idiot would not believe in global warming, Beck said. You know, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Here's a man that went on his own on TV program and seemed to be debunking, disagreeing with global warming. But then when a liberal publication like USA Today magazine interviews him, he says, I've been misunderstood. I believe in global warming. I believe in the environmental movement. Only an idiot would not believe in that. Well, I guess Tex Mars is an idiot. And you, my dear friends, because I suggest to you that if you're listening to Power of Prophecy, you know that global warming is a hoax, the same that I do. According to Glenn Beck, you, my dear friend, are an idiot. Me, I think you're a pretty smart fellow or woman. I do. You're pretty smart. You're not buying in on the myth of global warming. Beck says you're an idiot. This is Tex Mars. We have a lot more secrets when we return here on Power of Prophecy. Well, Tex Mars back here again, your humble host. Glad to have you with us today on Power of Prophecy. We're talking about, some secrets. Shh, they're secret. Well, we have a book that is not a secret. It's just one of the best books we've ever offered here at Power of Prophecy. And we offer some doozies, don't we? You'll have to admit, books that you can't find anywhere else. I mean, some of the books people say, I've never heard of that before. Well, We scour the world to find truthful books that do some good. And we're not like those New York publishing houses that only put out politically correct books. Most of ours are far from it. Well, this book is like that, but it's a very, very educated book. Great book, but written so that anybody can understand it. But what a great book this is. Well over 300 pages. It's by a Jewish scholar, a university scholar, but it's not written so that, you know, even a ninth grade person couldn't understand it, as well as a college graduate. Because I read it, and I tell you, I just dove into it. I couldn't wait to get this book. The title is The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. It's written by Ilan Pappy. That's I-L-A-N, Pappy. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. I need really to get Mr. Pappy on a radio show sometime. Ilan Pappy, P-A-P-P-E, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. Mr. Pappy has been called Israel's bravest, most principled, most incisive historians. He holds the chair in history at the University of Exeter in Great Britain. And he's really author of a number of very influential books on the Middle East. Here are a few other titles that he's responsible for. He's the author of A History of Modern Palestine, author of The Modern Middle East, and he wrote the book The Israel-Palestine Question. Ilan Pappy. You know, most Jews are not honest enough to write a book like this. And they know that the Jewish community will attack and savage them if they have the courage and bravery to write such a book. This is a very scholarly book, and it's got all kind of references in it. So you know he's telling the truth about this. This is the story of 1948 and what the Jews did to the Palestinians. The ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Let me read to you from that, the back cover. It says, the 1948 Israeli War of Independence involved one of the largest forced migrations in modern history. Around 1 million people were expelled from their homes at gunpoint. Civilians were massacred, and hundreds of Palestinian villages destroyed. It could only have been called ethnic cleansing. And yet, writes Mr. Ilan Pappy, it has been denied for more than 6 decades. The liars have had the scope of history, but now comes the truth. Written by Mr. Pappy. It continues here. It says, in this groundbreaking book, renowned Israeli historian Ilan Pappy offers impressive documented evidence to demonstrate that from its very inception, a central plank in Israel's founding ideology was the forcible removal of the indigenous population, a strategy that continues to the present day. Folks, if you want to know the truth about the Middle East, Israel, Palestine, this is the book. This is the book. He in this book, he quotes, you know, about the speeches and the what was said by David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, about all the Israeli terrorists who helped to found this country, how they were Marxist, communist. They were mass murderers, and they didn't hesitate to kill the Palestinians, peaceful Palestinians, men, women, and children. And this is the story of that. I rank this book in importance along with Alexander Solzhenitsyn's The Gulag Archipelago, an important book by Ilan Pappy. Now, as I said, it's over 300 pages. In length. And for $20, your gift of $20 will send this book by Ilan Pappy to you. You know, give a copy of this to your Christian evangelical friends. You know, I have asked Christians, what do you think happened in Palestine when the Jews came and set up their nation? And people say, oh, there was nobody living there. It was just desert. That's what they've been told. Other Christians say, well, there were a lot of Palestinians there, Arabs. But you know, when the Jews came, the Palestinians and Arabs were so hateful and bigoted, they didn't want to live by the Jews side by side with them. So they just all abandoned their homes and villages and towns and left. Wow. Isn't that something? I ask you this question, friends. If you live in Texas or New Mexico, Arizona, California, we're having an invasion of sorts. The Mexicans are pouring in. And you know, they're just looking for jobs. They're not out to kill us. But they're taking a lot of our homes, a lot of our jobs, a lot of our lands. But they're not cleansing us. It's not an ethnic thing where they're murdering us. Well, they have in a few cases, I guess. But what if all the Mexicans came across with guns and tanks and aircraft and started just slaughtering the Anglos? How would you feel about that? Would you fight back? Would you be angry about it? A home that you worked for and you built, maybe with your own hands, and they just come in and rape your wife and daughters and kill them, kill your sons, attempt to kill you. If you survived, how would you feel about that? That's what's happened to the Palestinians. And Elon Pappy, an honest man, a man of integrity, even though he is a Jew. You see, I don't hate Jews, but I hate the evil that many Jews do. And we're going to continue to expose it here on Power of Prophecy. The book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Elon Pappy for $20. Please send $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $25. And by the way, nobody in America evidently will publish this book. Mr. Pappy, one of the greatest historians in the world, could not find an American publisher because the publishing industry is run by Jews. I'm amazed, though, that he was able to get a publisher in Oxford, England to publish it. The English publish it, but no American publisher will publish it. You know, they didn't publish Alexander Solzhenitsyn's last book. Before he died, he wrote a book called 200 Years Together, The History of Jews in Russia. He told the truth. Stalin, Lenin, Trotsky, they killed for the Jews. Trotsky and Lenin were Jews. Most of the commandants of the Gulag concentration camps in communist Soviet Union were Jews, and many of them were rabbis. Monsters all. And Solzhenitsyn exposed that. And Solzhenitsyn, one of the greatest historians in the history of humankind, noted that 66 million people, mostly Christians, perished in Soviet Russia at the hands of the Jews. And even though his books such as Gulag Archipelago sold over 40 million copies, some say 30 million, maybe I'm exaggerating by 10 million. I mean, after 20 or 30 million, you know, you lose count. So I've seen different accounts. What I know is Solzhenitsyn's book sold more than practically any author of the entire 20th century. And yet his last book, perhaps his greatest, 200 Years Together, no American publisher would publish it. They don't want the truth. They hate. They despise the truth. But we offer Elon Pappy's book so you'll know what really happened in the Middle East. What's really going on. Why we may end up fighting a World War III and having our entire nation destroyed. This book is a key to that. Elon Pappy's The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine for $25 postpaid. Takes care of the shipping, the handling. $25. To get the book, simply phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us, send us $25. Check, money order, or cash. To Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go online at powerofprophecy.com and order the book by Elon Pappy entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. And now let's return to our regular program, Power of Prophecy, A Volume of Secrets. You know, I had a good friend recently wrote to me and said, Tex, you used to be so calm when you did your radio programs, but you seem to be sort of frantic, almost desperate now. They said, we enjoyed it more when you were more calm, cool, collected. They didn't use the word cool and collected, but I guess that's what they meant. And I thought about it. Maybe I have been more frantic and desperate. I don't think I'm frantic and desperate, because I know that I'm in the palm of God's hands. Whatever the world does, you know, I realize I don't have to worry about it, but I must say I have been very concerned about America and the direction this country's been going in. If I've sounded a little frantic and desperate, it's that I see so many people being deceived and misled, kept from the truth, and so many souls are being lost to the devil. And that really disturbs me. I really hate to see it. I hate to see a great country like America destroyed, ripped away from its constitution, its moorings, its morality, just tore away from that. That upsets me. And then today, so many people have been brought into falsehoods and lies. They don't even know the truth of Jesus and the Bible. So many people have been taught to hate Christianity, because there are so many false, pretend Christians. I know that. But you know, my friends, there may be a lot of counterfeits out there, a lot of fakes, but there's a real. And maybe I am desperate for you to know the real. I do want you to understand the truth. I'm sorry if I haven't been as calm as maybe I could be, but I hope you'll forgive me. You know, a lot of people say to me, you know, Jesus never lost his temper. He never got angry. He was always calm. Boy, they don't know the Bible. I bet you the people that he threw out of those temples, the money changers, overthrew their tables. I bet you they didn't think he was a calm, cool cat. I bet you the Pharisees who Jesus, when he told them, you're of your father, the devil, and he called them whited sepulchers, you know, like dead men. I bet you they didn't feel too charitable toward Jesus. Now, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but I do try to follow him. He's the best example in the whole world to follow. If I come up short a little bit, well, I'm sure you'll forgive me. But, you know, this person that wrote to me, actually were friends. I don't think they were trying to hurt the ministry or trying to criticize me. They were trying to help me. And I appreciated their letter. But I don't know. I'm going to think about that one. I'd like to hear from you, friends. If you think I've been too frantic and desperate, write to me. I'd like to hear from you. You know, I have been sick quite a bit lately. I was ill for about nine or 10 weeks there with shingles and some kind of inflammation of the nerves. Maybe that made me frantic and desperate. I don't know. But I do want to assure you of one thing. In my heart, I'm not frantic and desperate at all. I wake up every morning, as I've told you, with a smile on my face. I know where I'm going. I know what the world's going to end like. I've read the book of Revelation. I know the end of all things. And I always love the masthead. That's, you know, the sort of the very top, the front page of our newsletter every month, Power of Prophecy newsletter. And I have a quote from the Bible, Revelation 2:26. I'd like to read it to you, because this is my real heartfelt belief of what's going to happen to you and to me. And that's why I'm totally Let's just say I feel pretty good all the time. It says here, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You think China or Israel or, I don't know, North Korea or Iran is a threat? I don't think so. Do you think the United States is going to end up being destroyed? Well, maybe so. But I know what's going to happen to you and me if we believe in Christ Jesus. We're the overcomers. We're the overcomers. Nothing can defeat us. Not even the beast of prophecy. 666, he has no power over us, but instead we will overcome and we will be given power over the nations. Because God has placed all things in the hands of his Son, Jesus Christ. All authority. He opens the door, it says in Revelation, and no man can shut it. And by the same token, he is the one who shuts the door, and no man can open it. I have been around long enough in this world to know this. When one door closes because of Satan's shenanigans, when one door closes to you, dear friend, God is right there opening up two or three more for you. Just enter therein. He's knocking all the time at the door. You listen very carefully for that knock. You enter in at that door and you won't be dissatisfied. You'll be blessed. Now, let's continue our secrets here. You know, I wrote an article recently and I said that secession is the best solution. Maybe it's time we think about seceding from the Union. Why? Well, we cannot restore this nation. It's gone. I know a lot of people get mad at me for telling you this. We cannot take America back. It's impossible. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't fight for it. We should occupy. We should go after it. Fight evil. Expose evil. But you know what? I think one of the ways to do it is to secede from the United States. Now, keep in mind, I'm not asking you to start a revolution. Now, the United States of America seceded from Great Britain. So there is a precedent for this. George Washington and our founding fathers seceded from Great Britain. So don't tell me seceding is evil. Well, maybe it is. But if it is, then all of our founding fathers were evil men. And right now today, we should get down on our knees and say, King George, we're sorry. Great Britain, come and take us. Prince Philip, you're our prince. Queen Elizabeth, you're our queen. If you want to do that, friends, then you just go ahead. I think I'll pass it up. Secession is the best solution. Let me give you some recent events that cause you to understand what I'm talking about. When Federal Judge Von Walker recently declared California's ban on gay same-sex marriages unconstitutional, I expected it. After all, Judge Walker is a homosexual freak, a fact of which he openly prides himself. Homosexual freaks, the Bible says, are reprobates. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind, and they're double-minded in all their ways. Reprobates stick together, and homosexuals stick together. They're certainly reprobates. So Walker, being a reprobate, gave the go-ahead for ridiculous marriages between people of the same sex. Now, we know that Judge Walker is a sexual deviant. He wouldn't be a homosexual if he were normal. And he wouldn't have ruled the way he did and told the people of California to go to Hades, which he did, because the people of California had passed legislation which said no same-sex marriages. And Judge Walker says, I don't care what the people want. Look at my little limp wrist here. You're going to have to accept same-sex marriages, whether you like it or not. Now, who put this nut in office? What liberal president did such a thing? gave us Judge Von Walker, a gay man who ruled in favor of gay marriages. Somebody has to be an idiot to have appointed that man to office. Well, yes, an idiot did appoint him. President Bush, President George Herbert Walker Bush, Senior Bush, appointed Judge Walker. And only rightly so. Because everybody in Washington, D.C. along the Beltway know that Senior George Bush, as well as George W. Bush, are both closet homosexuals. You should have read my article, White House Bordello. I exposed the sexual peccadilloes of George W. Bush. Hey, Sandra, she took over for Jerry over here at the broadcast machine. She's my engineer today. Sandra Myers. You know Sandra. She does a fabulous job. She publishes our newsletter. I write the newsletter, and she makes it pretty. She makes it beautiful. We have the best newsletters, don't we? If you like what Sandra does, I'd like to hear from you. She needs some attagirls. She does a great job. I tell her, Wanda says, well, what a great job you do this newsletter. She doesn't believe us, probably. She knows us. She's worked here so long. You know, what we say is old hat. But if you love her work on the newsletters, she chooses the artwork. She formats it in the pictures. And she works very hard on it. And she's done so for many years. What a great job she does. But today she's over here at in the broadcast studio. What about that? White House Bordello. Remember you formatted that article? Gannon. Yeah, Jeff Gannon. Yeah, his boyfriend. Oh, my goodness. Hey, let's not bring that up. But here's another guy. Now, think about it. This guy, Walker, was appointed by George Bush, a Republican. So much for the idea. Right, Sandra? That Democrats and Republicans are different. Uh-uh. Not a dime. I like that. Not a dime's worth of difference, says Sandra. And I believe her. Okay, Ted Olson. He was the attorney for the gays in this case. Ted Olson, who is that guy? He's a sicko, of course. He specializes in cases fighting for the gay agenda, including gay marriage. Do you know who Ted Olson is? Why, he was in the George W. Bush administration, Junior Bush. He was the president's solicitor general, the top Justice Department lawyer who acted in the federal courts on behalf of the White House. Olson is now a gay attorney, and I think he's a gay man. By the way, you may recall Olson's third wife. He's been married four times, even though I believe he's queer as a $3 bill. But his third wife was a woman named Barbara Olson. She wrote a book, I have a copy of it right in front of me, called Hell to Pay, The Unfolding Story of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Barbara Olson seemed like a good girl. She was a lawyer too, and she wrote this book exposing Hillary Rodham Clinton. And she died on American Airlines Flight 77, the one that supposedly smashed into the Pentagon. Now, Ted Olson was trying to buck up the official story of 9/11, the official count that 19 Arab towelheads hijacked airplanes, which is baloney, of course. And he claimed that he got a phone call from his wife, Barbara, who was a passenger on Flight 77. They're at the Justice Department, and she wanted to know what she should do, what the passengers should do. And he claimed that Barbara Olson told him we're being hijacked by Arab terrorists. Turned out later that according to the official 9/11 government commission, no phone calls were made from the aircraft. Barbara Olson did not make a phone call to her husband, Ted Olson. He lied. He lied in an attempt to buttress the White House's bogus 9/11 myth. He lied. No calls were made from the aircraft. And the phone company said the same thing. No phone calls. And now Ted Olson is working full time for gays, for homos. By the way, Ken Mehlman, M-E-H-L-M-A-N. I told you, did I not, over and over again on this radio program, I told you that the chairman of the Republican National Committee, head of the whole Republican Party under George W. Bush as president, Bush appointed Ken Mehlman as his chairman of the Republican Party. And I told you he was a flaming homosexual wacko. Just this last week, Ken Melman came out of the closet.
Yes, I'm gay.
Did he tell George W. Bush about being gay?
Yes, I informed the president,
and he was very happy for me. Well, I bet he was. I bet he held hands with you when you were laying in bed together. Oh, no, that was Jeff Gannon. I'm sorry. That wasn't Melman. It was some other guy he was laying in bed with at the time. Well, then we have another case here. The case of Susan Bolton. She was the judge that ruled that Arizona's new law that gave the cops the ability when they stopped a suspect to ask if the person was a citizen or not. You know, that just seems common sense. You've arrested some guy or he's accused of a crime. You stopped him. You like to get some ID to find out if he's a citizen or what, or if he has a criminal record. Seems common sense. But Judge Susan Bolton, federal judge, said, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. You're discriminating against him. Huh? Huh? Well, Susan Bolton is a Jew, naturally. And I don't know about her sexual orientation. The press is keeping that under wraps. But why should we doubt she's likely a lesbian? Most judicial activists are, especially if they're Jewish. Susan Bolton, Jew. Who appointed her? Well, Democrat President Bill Clinton. She was already famous, by the way, or infamous, that is, for her support on the federal bench for radical environmentalism. And now she's backing the Obama administration's pro-illegal alien stand. Hey, that's par for the course for a judicial activist who's a Jewish lesbian Democrat, Susan Bolton. Then we have the new judge on the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan. Russian name, real Russian name, Kaganovich. Barack Obama appointed her. Lindsey Graham, the little queer boy, Republican senator from the Carolinas, South Carolina, Zionist bosom buddy of liberal senators John McCain, Republican, and Joseph Lieberman, Democrat, independent. Graham, well, he's as queer as a $3.5 bill. He voted for her, even though he's Republican, even though she's about as liberal as Karl Marx, and she's lesbian, and she's a Jew. Perverts rule over us. Now, it didn't matter that the whole state of Arizona voted for this law to protect them from the murderous criminal activity of illegal aliens. She didn't care, this Susan Bolton, this Jewish activist. Just like Von Walker didn't care what the people of California wanted. He's going to give us what the queers, the Jews, the perverts want. That's why, finally, we need to start thinking about seceding. We can do it in one state first. Pick one state. Could be Texas. Could be Vermont. But we need to seriously think about it. Now, listen to me. In calling for secession, I'm not calling for you to get your guns and go out and shoot people. I think we can do it peacefully. We can do it even constitutionally. We don't want to use violence. But it's time. It's time to set up our own nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we don't have that in the communist Marxist United States of America today. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Been great to be with you. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.